Tonight, I want us to look at responsibility. Responsibility is a word that we throw out as our kids, as they're growing up. You're going to have to learn a little responsibility. And the reason we understand responsibility is that we grew up, many of us, trying to get away from being responsible for something, meaning being responsible. Let's say God calls me to, I want you to go over here and I want you to talk to this one because this is the problems in their life, Larry. Now you get over there, Lord, I can't deal with any more of that. It's your responsibility as a Christian to follow the call of God. Now, kids, they don't, folks, kids lie. Whether you know, have you noticed how mean kids are to each other? Oh, man, it is pitiful. But they do not want to accept the responsibility. Well, no, I didn't bite him until he took my cookie. Well, son, that sounds good, but you all don't have any cookies. That's right. He ate it. And, you know, but the responsibility of doing something, it looks like it's within us to try to push away from that, especially if it's something bad. We want to wait and see if everything turns out good, then we can say, you know, I'm a part of that. But God says you have to focus on being responsible in life. If I'm going to be responsible in the life that God has given me, then I must accept the responsibility that God has told me that to use and to utilize. You're responsible for this. As a preacher, what am I responsible for? The key focus of my walk with the Lord as a proclaimer of His Word is to always make certain that I am loyal to the Word of God, not to change, not to back off. Be responsible for your calling. When I have blessed you with life, I've blessed you to allow you to be living in the United States of America in freedom. Therefore, accept your responsibility. We do that also, you know, with our church body. Each one of us are, yes, we are our brother's keeper. We are responsible as Christians to help one another. When one falls, we're to lift them up, not stand on them. If we need to prop them up, let's prop them up. And we don't have to prop them up next to the jukebox. You prop them up in as you're calling because you're a responsible Christian. I remember thinking years ago how great it would be. Many of you have heard me tell this, you know, because getting to be in a church setting rather than with criminals for the multiple years that it was, because I just knew that, you know, to get in church with the real Christians and, you know, because each one is responsible for the other. When I would read the scripture, I believe that God meant what He said. I believe that, you know, no, look, you, Larry, and just like I told you about my prison ministries, just go in, lead everybody to Christ, tell them to lock the door up. It saves the state money because there's not any criminals left. They've all become Christians. And you get in the church and you find out something. You know, my whole life I've been in training. And I will continue to be in training until I leave this body. Now, all the training that God will give us afterwards, I'm sure it's going to be a lot more exciting than it is right now, because now in our training as Christians, we're going to trip and we're going to fall and we're going to hurt. We're going to so many times embarrass ourselves and a lot of times embarrass others. We're going to be judgmental of others. You grow, and as you grow in Christianity, you realize, wait a minute, how can I judge right or wrong with that? And you all have heard me with my sister's death and my brother-in-law in killing her. Now, I don't know, but I do know this. God does, and I know the grace. Why do you justify that as two dedicated Christians? I don't try to justify it. Now I understand that you and I are in this world and we're living reality life. This is not a reality series. It's a reality focus that in this real world, there's hurt, there's pain, there's sorrow, there's nastiness, there's war, there's violence within the heart of man, evil continually. I'm sure, especially my crew down in Florida who are listening, that I want you to think of this. And this is something that's got me in trouble before, so I'll let it get me in trouble again. I've listened to so many talk about, well, it's those kids that they use in the sweatshops and they make the clothing and all of that, so we don't want that to happen. And what really angers me with that, you've got to be there and you have to understand something. If those kids aren't in that sweatshop, they don't get to eat. They go out on the, you know, we don't want that because, you know, that's cruelty. No, it's cruelty when those kids are not fed. The more that they work and the harder that they work and the more clothing that they sew, the better the food and the whole focus. But people want to stand back and say, no, that's not right. Well, get over there and see. It really bothers me also listening to folks say, you know, that battle that you were in, you know, you were dead wrong. Well, how can you be right when you're killing each other? Yet, you and I see in this world today that we, if we accept our responsibility, then our responsibility in this world as a Christian, first and foremost, is to our Christian brothers and sisters. Yes, the Bible does teach that. We are responsible for one another. We're to lift one another up. We're told, Paul was really strict on this, as well as many of the others, on focusing, be careful, because he may be down today, but help him out, because tomorrow it's your turn. And we see ourselves ending up head over heels, you know, with tragedies in our life. But God says, here's how we're going to work through it, being a responsible Christian. And in that responsibility, we have the pattern. His name is Jesus. And Jesus met his responsibilities, plural. You and I are the greatest of Jesus' responsibilities. He came just for us. Everything in this world was created by God the Father through Jesus Christ just for us. And so God says, I'm blessing you. I want you to go forth. I want you to multiply. And I want you to multiply, though, teaching your children responsibility. You do that through love. You do that through understanding that Jesus, when he accepted his responsibilities, then that empowered us with the authority to accept ours. Instead of saying, oh, God, I can't do that. You know, you're really getting me out of my comfort zone here. Well, the world must become our comfort zone. And I don't preach because I feel good. I preach when I feel bad. I preach when I'm feeling good. I preach when I'm sick. I preach and teach when I am hurting, brokenhearted. Why? I have a responsibility. But every Christian has that responsibility. This is obviously what the way you're hearing me go on here is why God is calling me back into the evangelism right here at this church. It's because we need to. Have you ever had somebody say, you need to know your place? Now, every one of us in the 60s or 50s or 40s, we heard that said to people. You just need to know your place. And then, you know, growing up and listening to that garbage, know your place. Well, Christian, we need to know our place. And our place is at the foot of the cross, and at the foot of the cross with any other Christian who is at the foot of that cross. When we have someone that is broken, we don't step on them and say, well, I knew they weren't a Christian, or they would have never done that. Get real with life. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood, remember, when he's instituting the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. Now, again, remember, he says shed for many. The many he's talking about is whosoever will let them come. See, his blood was shed for us. But unless we accept his blood as the holy blood from him that he shed for the remission of our sins, folks, then only for many, meaning the others who don't accept, it's not going to work on them. You and I are covered by the blood of the Lamb. We got that, right? Well, those who reject the blood, and that's what the Pharisees were doing, those who reject the blood, and Jesus said, you all are sickos. Well, that's my breakdown on that one. But that's what he was. You know, you're vipers. You are wolves. You know, you're not accepting responsibility of the word that I gave you. How many times have you witnessed people who were great in preaching or teaching, and then all of a sudden they go off whoring into the world? Every day it happens, folks. Now, here's what's going on in our churches, though. As soon as that happens, that individual right then is rejected. Here's a problem I have with a lot of this. And I don't allow them, you know, to come here and to continue in their activity as they're coming. But here's our problem. You and I have a responsibility to help. You and I have a responsibility to love. Everything our children do doesn't make us happy, but we still love them. Therefore, as a responsible Christian, we need to understand that Jesus gave us a new covenant through his blood, salvation to whosoever will come. All the rules and regulations are gone, not involved. He said, that's why much I love you, Larry. When you accept my blood, it's over. It's as though you did commit the sin, but you cannot be charged with it. Some folk misinterpret that of saying, well, it's as though you never sinned. No, that's not correct. It's knowing that you have sinned, but you can't be charged with that sin. It'll never come in the presence of God. So what do you care about the other people who want to judge you? Did not Paul say, I don't even judge myself? Jesus was looking at him, and Jesus said, you can't be my judge. And it's always the focus of accept your responsibility. God intervenes. Now, God intervenes in ways a lot of times that don't make us comfortable, but he always intervenes. And it's always the best for us. Psalm 18:3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. This is King David. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Therefore, King David was saying, I accept the responsibility. But you know what else he accepted during this time? He accepted his guilt for the sin that he had committed. And God had already said he was a man after his own heart. That didn't mean God endorsed David's sin. That means that David had a pure heart. Those cases of the stupids, I thought they would leave when I got a certain age. Well, they haven't. I'm still doing dumb things. Every so often, I'll even have a slip of the tongue, Phyllis. And I will let that out. Okay, responsibility. We must accept, and here's what a lot of Christians don't want to do. We must accept our suffering responsibility. Suffering responsibility. Well, I'm a Christian. I don't want to have to hurt anymore. I thought old things have passed away, all things new. Therefore, as a Christian, I'm not going to have to deal with this suffering. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Now, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. You see, that our whole life here, Christian, and our responsibility is to bear the cross. And what did Jesus say? Take my yoke upon you, yoke with me, and I will help you carry that cross. Remember that when he dropped the cross and the help came there for him to lift up that cross, and he said, I'm yoking you now with me, accept my suffering though. Christianity is actually the whole focus of serving Christ has been under attack since before Christ came. Now, Jesus said, if you're going to, look, folks, if you don't have any enemies, shame on you. If you don't have any enemies out there that even despises you, shame on you. Because Jesus said, if they despised me, they will despise you. Because, you see, you and I are to be the, take God's dictation and dictate to the world through our messages the Word of God. God's Word cannot be separated by man and have that authority. So you and I must accept our suffering responsibility. Oh, you said that Jesus is the only way. You're not very smart, are you? Well, I don't have to be very smart because I know Jesus, and he knows everything. But most of all, he knows me. So you take that, 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us, you got it? Where did he call us? To his eternal glory. That's great for me. By Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We don't even know what suffering is, folks. It's Jesus that's going to do all of this. You and I can't make that work. We are responsible for what others have taught us. That's our responsibility. I am to learn from those who were before me, and then I am to take that message by the power of the Holy Spirit to the world. I do not have a right to forget the truth, because it's popular to forget the truth sometimes. Brother Larry, for you know, you'll be back into those hellfire and brimstone sermons that you used to preach. And it really almost hurt my feelings because I thought I still did that. But through evangelism, I know, is that different tone. We are responsible for what others have taught us. Listen to Luke 11:49-54. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets. Now, listen to me here. You're talking about the individuals that because of the evil of man, God's going to send his prophets, and he's going to send the apostles. Now, listen to what happened here. God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill, and others they will persecute. God knows that that's what's going to happen to us. Therefore, this generation, you'll hear part of this scripture also Sunday morning, therefore this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets. Now, the generation he's speaking of here is the generation that teaches against the truth of God, teaches against the blood. This generation, I sent you prophets. The apostles have come. They have my word. You know this, my word. These people, they were brilliant on the law. They just didn't want to accept the truth of the grace that God was given because they wanted to keep everybody else under the law except for themselves. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah. Now, this is not the prophet, Zechariah. This Zechariah is the priest, Zechariah. And you got to remember something. The Hebrew Bible, getting myself in trouble here, but the Hebrew Bible that they were looking at this time, I believe it was Deuteronomy, in which was the end of it, but I'm not sure. Now we know that the Old Testament, we said Malachi is the end. But anyway, so he said, because nobody said, where does that, I don't remember a story about Zechariah being to. Okay, who was killed, between the altar and the sanctuary. Well, at that time, it must have been big news, wasn't it? Knew exactly where he was killed. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be responsible for it all. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. Remember that last Sunday? You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. When Jesus left there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. Well, that still goes on today, doesn't it? And you call yourself a Christian? You lost your temper, and do you know what you said? No, I don't know what I said. I lost my temper. You never remember what you said when you lose your temper. Lost your mind, too. You know, that you got to remember, the temper part is meaning once the steel is tempered, is solid and hangs on. And when we lose our tempering, the blade breaks. Okay, we are responsible for how we look upon others. We're responsible for how we look upon others. Luke 18:9-14. Also, he, meaning Jesus, spoke this parable to some who, listen to it, trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Oh, you never see that, do you? They're not righteous in the eyes of God or even in the actions, but they trust themselves that they are righteous and despised others. That's where the haughty attitude of, thank you, God, that I'm not like those people. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Well, that's what this one is, isn't it? One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. You know, the tax collectors have still held their popularity the same way, huh? We're still talking about them today. Yeah, the lawyers, no, yeah. Like a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Catch that. He prayed thus with himself, not offering the prayer to God, but in a braggadocious style of prayer, the great oratory of declaring how wonderful he was. Prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. Anybody remember that we are told by Scripture that when we fast, nobody's to know it? You fasting that you do in private between you and God, not telling everybody about it. Okay, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The exaltation that the Christian looks for, it focuses on the eternal, focuses on the spiritual. Focuses on that feeling that you know within your heart that you did the best you could with God's word. And even though you feel like a failure so often, I never get in that pulpit, folks, that I don't shake. I never preach the time that I'm not nervous. And I suppose one day, if it ever got to the point to where I'm no longer nervous, I need to get out of that pulpit. That's because I don't want to say it wrong. And I don't want to mislead. And I don't ever want to back away from the truth that'll help someone with their spiritual growth instead of telling them something that's going to make them feel good. The feel-good stuff only lasts for a short time.